I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, it's time to call this so-called budget crisis we have in Washington State what it is, an absolute sham. Plus, Democrats have reintroduced a bill that would pay striking workers. The real question is, will Governor-elect Bob Ferguson sign it? And you already know I'm going to talk about the drones. If there's a story about aliens, maybe aliens, we're going to discuss it. That and more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, this holiday season, you can give the gift of Undivided to a loved one or an enemy. Visit patreon.com/undivided/gift. Hello, buddies, pals, amigos. Welcome to Undivided. I'm Brandi Cruz. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. We've got to keep talking about this budget crisis in Washington State because it's happening in other blue states too. Oh, California's got a budget crisis, even though their economy is like bigger than most economies for nations across the world. It's a total farce. It's an absolute lie for elected leaders to sit here and suggest that we are 10 to now $14 billion in the hole. I mean, we can call it a spending crisis, right? Because that is really what it is. They've spent way too much money. They've spent more money than we have coming in. It's a budget shortfall in the very simplest term. But to me, that's not even it. Because it would be so simple for our state government to craft a budget that is commensurate with the amount of money we have coming in. It would be so simple to do it, but the thing is that they don't want to do it. They don't want to give up some of the real nonsensical stuff that they're spending money on. It would be so simple if we were level-headed and looked at this like, okay, what actually does the government need to be doing? We would have a budget surplus. I mean, you'd be able to give tax breaks to people. But that's not what they want to do, obviously. They want to keep all these dumb things the government should never be paying for in the first place. And then they want to come to you pleading poverty and coming up with all these new taxes that they want to push down. We already know they'll probably adjust the tax on capital gains to apply to more people. They're going to try to pass a tax on high-paying jobs like the city of Seattle has, which will ruin our economy. They want to maybe pass a tax on unrealized gains, which will also decimate our economy just at a more rapid pace. And there's a number of other things that they're proposing because they don't want to actually budget. You know, they're going to propose budgets and craft budgets. But these aren't budgets. These are wish lists and a route to new taxes. That's all it is. So there was a story that came up. Sarah Fox, I'll give undivided viewer Sarah Fox credit for sending me this, although our friend Jason Rance had tweeted it out last week and I just didn't see it, but it's new to us. So I want to talk about it at the top of the show because it just proves this point. So again, $10 to $12 billion budget deficit was the initial estimate when the Office of Financial Management had put out this right after the election. Literally right after the election. You remember? This was November 8th. That's the date on the Office of Financial Management's initial alert that, hey, we have a $10 to $12 billion budget deficit. November 8th. How could we be so duped? How could we be so duped? November 8th. Oh, no, we're not a budget crisis before the election. We'll let them know about after the election, right? So now it's looking like it's maybe more toward $14 billion that they're estimating that we're going to be short. And remember the steps that happened. So they did that after the election. Governor Inslee came out and said, this is an emergency. This is really serious. I'm directing all of my agencies to take immediate cost-cutting measures, including freezing contracts, freezing non-essential travel, freezing all new equipment purchases, and freezing hiring for most positions, which if you're actually facing a budget crisis, those steps make sense. Like, let's stop the hemorrhaging right now while we reassess what we're going to do. The freeze hiring for most positions thing is the one that's going to become very important here because the state of Washington is still posting job openings. And look, there are some job openings and absolutely necessary positions in the state of Washington. Like, I don't want them freezing hiring for the Washington State Patrol, for instance. You know, if you've got a position like as a jail guards and the prison guards and the Department of Corrections, like there are some things that you can't freeze hiring. If somebody leaves, you got to replace them because we need someone to be able to do that job. Here's a job that you would think, given this insistence that we're in a budget crisis, this directive from the governor to all his state agencies, including the Department of Corrections, you must freeze hiring for non-essential positions. So odd then that this would be today an active posting by the state of Washington for the job of gender-affirming medical specialist, physician 3. I kid you not. This was posted on December 6th. The closing date, when they're going to consider applicants, is December 19th. So this is a new, very much active job posting from the state of Washington for a gender-affirming medical specialist. What is that exactly? What does that do? So it says that this person would be responsible for directing patient care. God, just end it now. Directing patient care of all transgender individuals statewide in the Department of Corrections. So they're hiring a doctor specifically to take care of transgender prison inmates and their needs. It says, act as a treating consultant for transgender patients in conjunction with the on-site staff. This will include managing assessment for and treatment with hormones and consideration for surgical interventions. They would also participate in the Transgender Care Review Committee, provide professional assessment for consideration of the Care Review Committee for transgender inmates to determine medical necessity for various interventions to include surgical interventions, which isn't a medical necessity, but of course they believe it is. So let's see, full-time job, permanent job, so it's not a temporary job of any kind that they're hiring for. Here's the salary that you could get paid for being a gender-affirming medical specialist for the state of Washington. $198,000 to $267,000 a year. We are supposed to believe that the state of Washington is in an epic budget crisis, and they're hiring a doctor to take care of the necessary hormones and surgical interventions for a handful of inmates in our prison system to be called a gender-affirming medical specialist. Budget crisis, my ass. That would be a completely unnecessary job even if we weren't in a budget crisis. You're telling me you have to have a doctor dedicated to, again, a handful of prison inmates who believe that they need top surgery, bottom surgery, gender hormone therapy while they're incarcerated on the taxpayer dime. We already know the taxpayers have spent north of $500,000 on quote-unquote gender-affirming care for transgender inmates. Yes, you're paying for that. So in this budget crisis, in this really tight budgetary time in Washington, you're already footing the bill for prison inmates to get gender hormone therapy and gender reassignment surgery. You've already been footing the bill for that. And now on top of that, they want you to foot the bill to the tune of $250,000 a year for a doctor who's going to essentially provide concierge service to these transgender prison inmates. And on top of, remember the story we did that I always revisit when I talk about our quote-unquote budget crisis? You don't have a budget crisis when you're putting out government contracts for bidding, trying to find people who specialize in laser hair removal to service quote-unquote transgender inmates. Remember we talked about that? This was back on October 24th, the Washington Electronic Business Solutions vendor. So they basically send out all these bids for contract from all sorts of areas of government, try to get people to send in bids where they were looking for laser hair removal services for incarcerated individuals. The Washington State Department of Corrections provides comprehensive health care to incarcerated individuals. The department is committed to providing all individuals with the care and treatment necessary to promote their physical and mental health, including the provision of electrolysis, laser hair removal, to individuals receiving treatment for gender dysphoria. And you want us to honest to God believe that we're in a budget crunch. And you're giving prison inmates in the interest of their physical and mental health, you're sending out government contracts to find someone who will come to prison. And if they won't come to prison, you'll transport the prisoner to a laser hair removal center so they can get their pubes laser hair removed off so they feel more feminine. And they're going to try to convince us over the next 4 months that we are in a serious budget crisis and they have to raise taxes or we're screwed or our essential services will just go out the window. While they provide laser hair removal to transgender inmates, while they do so at the direction of a brand new gender-affirming medical specialist who exists at $250,000 a year to provide concierge medical care to transgender prison inmates. There is no population of people in the state of Washington who has better medical care than a prison inmate, than a convicted felon who says that they are a different gender other than the one they were born. Unless you are wealthy beyond your wildest dreams, you don't have a concierge medical team that specifically caters to your every need. That's what this is. It's like a celebrity doctor that does house calls. Hey, I believe I'm a woman, so take me out of this more dangerous men's facility. Put me in behind lock and key as a man with genitalia intact with women behind bars. Like, that's, I'm serving life, so that's a much better situation for me to be in a women's facility. And while you're at it, you know, I'd like to be squeaky clean down there. So can you send someone in, preferably a woman, to administer laser hair removal on me? And also, can you get my doctor in? I want to talk to them about my needs one-on-one. This isn't hyperbole. I'm not making any of this up. This isn't a culture war leaning into some sort of one-off narrative. This is reality. This is happening in the state of Washington. We're spending millions of dollars on this. And then we're prohibiting the public and the media from filing any sort of public disclosure request to see what's happening with these transgender inmates, who, by the way, have been, according to guards and inmates, accused of impregnating, assaulting, raping, because you can't have consensual sex behind bars. So every act of sex is rape. So, like, they hide all that, and then we have to spend money on this absolute nonsense. And then we're going to be gaslit, and we're not going to be gaslit because they can't gaslight us. But they're going to try to gaslight other citizens into believing that we're in such a severe budget deficit that we either have to cut essential spending, various essential services we all rely on, or we have to be okay with them raising taxes in a way that will decimate our economy. And this is what most Washingtonians voted for. When are we going to wake up? And again, like, is this probably amounts to a few million dollars a year with a transgender prison nonsense. More than that, if you include, like, other aspects of government where they're offering special services to transgender individuals or DEI stuff, then you're probably talking about tens of millions, or if not hundreds of millions of dollars a year. So, like, this alone, cutting this isn't going to fill a $14 billion budget deficit. But that's not the point. The point is their priorities and what they believe is essential spending at a time when they're $14 billion in the hole. It's proof that we don't need additional taxes. They need to stop spending money, your money, my money, on stuff like this, and stop believing fundamentally that this is an appropriate use of taxpayer funds. I mean, this is every Democratic lawmaker should be asked on the record by the media. They won't respond to us. Whether they think there should be gender-affirming medical specialists hired in the Department of Corrections, and whether they believe that transgender inmates should be able to leave secure prison facilities and go and get laser hair removal to feel more feminine. I would love every single one of them on the record to tell us whether they believe in this juncture that that's an appropriate use of funds. That's mental stuff.
Do you know that laser hair removal is never, even for transgender individuals, never covered by insurance? That's not a medical procedure. It's cosmetic, even for transgender
people.
Yeah,
but Nicole, don't be hateful. Mm-hmm. Don't be hateful. This is about promoting mm-hmm. their physical and mental health. Right. Do you want them to be sad behind bars? Just because they killed or raped right. or robbed or whatever, mm-hmm. they deserve to have their physical and mental well-being intact. Right. And if that means that their legs are silky smooth like a baby's bottom, mm-hmm. then so be it. Mm-hmm. Why are you such a bigot?
I know.
No, I'm serious. I really need to reassess this situation. Apparently. We don't tolerate hate in the workplace.
Just stating the facts that's over what you're here.
That's it's all. Mental. And that's not a one-time thing, as we pointed out, because Nicole and I both have laser hair removal, TMI.
We pay for it.
And you're going multiple times. So now you got this person, because you don't put people in our prison system. Our state is very lax on what, or very strict on what ends up in a prison sentence. These are people who have committed violent crimes, most of them. Mm-hmm. And so they've committed some sort of violent crime, and they are getting concierge medical service behind bars, and they get to go out on day trips to get laser hair removal.
It's infuriating.
If anybody I can't identify with, or I can't even, there's no hope of breaking through to someone who believes that's an appropriate use of funds. I don't even know what to do with that. That is the craziest thing. We need Doge to focus on what's happening in Washington State. We need a Washington State-based Doge. Not that they'll listen, right? But we need more people to understand the stupidity of this. And because they want to fund stuff like that, they're going to ruin our economy. They're going to decimate our economy with taxes on the rich and on big business. They're willing to, so they can get felons in prison, laser hair removal, and concierge medical service to protect their mental and emotional well-being. They're willing to decimate our economy. And those are the people that the majority of voters in Washington State have put in charge of things. Insane stuff. Speaking of insane stuff, so we know that there are some bills this past legislative session that Democrats tried to push through and just narrowly were unsuccessful. And it was because, frankly, yes, because Republicans wouldn't get on board, but it was because there were a few rationally thinking Democrats, particularly in the state Senate, who behind the scenes were like, no, we're not doing this. And even under unrelenting pressure, would not change their mind. State Senator Mark Mullett, State Senator Kevin Vandaway, who are both what? Gone. They both ran for other things. Mark ran for governor. Kevin ran for Congress. They both lost, so now they're not in government at all. And they were two of the only people standing in the way of some of the craziest policies that were put forth this past legislative session and standing in the way of the worst impulses of their own party. Now they're gone. And Democrats have only strengthened majorities in Olympia. So it would be dumb to think that some of those really fringe policies that were just narrowly defeated last session won't come up again, because they're more emboldened than ever, right? One of them, just an insane policy, again, when we talk about anti-business policies, is honest to God opening up our state's unemployment benefit system to striking workers. Yeah, they just refiled that. So we know, they're telling us right now, they're signaling that they will once again try to run the bill. It's Senate Bill 5041 for the 2025 legislative session. It's the who's who of the leftists introducing this. They're honest to God going to try to run the bill again that would give unemployment benefits to striking workers. People who are making a decision, essentially, to not work. That's not what our unemployment system is supposed to be for. Our unemployment system is supposed to be for people who are unemployed through no fault of their own. It is such an abuse. It is so insane. But they're going to try to push this through. And the big question is, now, this isn't a surprise. The fact that you'd have some of the furthest to the left senators with their names on this. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12... 13 Democratic senators who've signed on to this. So that's no small number in the state Senate. No surprise that they would try to do it again. The real question is, and one of maybe the first big tests of the Ferguson administration is going to be, will he sign it if it comes to his desk? Now, he has played coy, as we discussed on the show last week with the Seattle Times. The Seattle Times did this like hour-long sit-down with him where they asked about, hey, some of these progressive priorities that are likely to come back up, are you going to support them? Are you going to sign him? Here's what he said in the Seattle Times about this particular proposal. Now, it hadn't been pre-filed when he said this, but I think everyone kind of knew that it would be filed eventually. Ferguson was noncommittal on some top legislative priorities of progressive Democrats and their allies, which may wind up on his desk for a signature or veto in the next several months. That includes a bill giving striking workers access to unemployment benefits, which passed the state house last year. So he was noncommittal. Noncommittal. Do you believe for one second that a bill pushed by unions, which are the chief financial backers of campaigns like Ferguson and other Democrats, do you believe for one second that if that bill gets to his desk, he would not sign it? I love that the Seattle Times, we discussed this last week when it came up on a variety of things that Bob Ferguson said to him. They just accept it. No pushback. Oh, he was noncommittal on whether he'd support a bill with capping, you know, rent increases. Noncommittal on whether he may, you know, he may or may not. How are we supposed to know? He may or may not sign the bill for giving unemployment benefits to striking workers. As if it's the job of journalists to just passively accept things that politicians tell them. No, all the evidence would indicate that it would be very unlikely for him to veto a bill like that. If it makes it through Democrats in the House and Democrats in the Senate, a bill that is championed by unions who donate millions and millions and millions of dollars to Democratic candidates and Democratic causes, not to mention the teachers union, chief among them, that they love striking. They love striking to increase their pay, and they have strike funds. Now, strike funds, it was the case of the Boeing workers. I talked to a few Boeing employees who are on strike. They have strike funds, but it doesn't pay them up to, you know, any significant portion of what their salary would be if they were working, but that's a choice they make, right? Like, hey, we're going to go on strike. We're demanding better. This is the decision that we've made collectively. We have a strike fund, so we'll have a little bit of money coming in, not a lot, but we think that this is worth the trade-off in the long run. Now, what if you give unemployment benefits to striking workers? What motive do they have to come to the bargaining table in good faith? There's no, you've lost any bargaining chip you have with them. Because eventually, financially, right now, it's going to be very difficult for teachers or whatever union to stay on strike. You know, the strike fund runs out. You're not getting as much as you would be getting if you were working. That's the chief thing that's going to get them to the bargaining table in good faith. It's hurting them financially, just like it's hurting the business financially that they're, in the private sector at least, that they're striking against. So now you've basically, the government would be giving unions all the power in negotiations because there would be no financial hit, no financial incentive for them to give a little, you know, to get this to end the strike. And again, you really expect us to believe that a Democratic governor who got elected in large part with backing of unions is going to veto that bill? My ass. Not in a million years. If he did, mark this down, December 16th, 12:23 p.m. If he were to veto that bill, it might change my entire perspective of Bob Ferguson. I mean, not entirely, I guess, but I would have some very nice things to say about him. And I might start to believe that maybe he's taking on a more moderate approach than he has in the past. But it will never, never, never happen. All right. We had an awesome guest on Sundays with Subscribers this week. Her name is Rachel Savage. She is a Seattle business owner, and she's just so cool. Like, can I just be like her when I grow up? She has lived in Seattle for a long time, operated a business on Capitol Hill for a long time, and she is fed up. That's the only way to put it. She has watched some of the worst policies of progressive Seattle deteriorate a neighborhood she loves and a city she loves. And she is not only now speaking up, but she is considering maybe herself a run for public office. This segment is brought to you in partnership with our friends over at Future 42. Turn your frustration into action by going to future42.org. So I want to play this clip from our interview with Rachel Savage from The Sunday Show. Again, she's, especially in the last 5 years, this is someone who for most of her life has supported liberal policies. I mean, I don't think that you live and run a business on Capitol Hill without maybe being a little bit liberal or progressive. There's certainly some outliers. But she's been kind of more in line with the prevailing political view in Seattle for much of her life. And then she's operating this retail shop on Capitol Hill. And what does she see outside her doors? She sees the drug abuse. She sees the crime. She's seen the riots, you know, Chaz and Chop and all of those things. And that was when she made the connection and came to the realization that all these terrible things that are happening are the result of these progressive policies that up until now, she herself had supported. What's it been like to be a Capitol Hill business owner?
It's hell.
Wow.
It's gotten so bad. I love Capitol Hill. I love Seattle. I love the city so much. And what I've seen happen to our city, I actually can't believe it's happening. Mm-hmm. I did not know that a city could degenerate so quickly. I had no idea. And so it's been disturbing. It's been horrifying. It's been scary. It's, you know, I'm scared. I'm scared for my business. I'm scared for all the other businesses around. I'm actually afraid for everyone in the neighborhood, the citizens, the business owners, the mentally ill, the drug addicted, everybody.
Yeah, it's always been, Capitol Hill has always been kind of a quirky neighborhood, right? There's always been sort of a level of, you know, street disorder on Capitol Hill. But when did you start to realize that this is beyond any sort of acceptable level?
Well, it's the fentanyl. And yeah. So I noticed it, I would say, before the pandemic, where the drugs just started getting harder. You could just see it. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I've noticed is the just open air drug use. Just people using right out in the open, right in front of the grocery store, on the sidewalk, everywhere. And no one is doing anything about it. And so I think that we're in the middle of a fentanyl epidemic, for sure, and a severe, chronically mentally ill epidemic as well. And both of those things together, the people not getting the care they need, is creating, well, it's destroying the neighborhood.
Yeah. It's a pretty progressive neighborhood. I mean, Capitol Hill had Shama Sawant as a right. council member for 3 terms. And so, you know, of all the neighborhoods in Seattle, that is certainly one that has supported the types of hands-off policies when it comes to homeless encampments, when it comes to substance abuse and all of those things. But I mean, how do residents up there and business owners actually feel about what the result of those policies has been?
Well, that's where it gets interesting, because yeah. I work with the public. So people talk to me every single day, and people are afraid to speak their mind. Mm. They are afraid to say how they really feel. So I notice that people, you know, they're nervous about talking. But when I, so one of the big things at the shop that opens the conversation is I don't take cash right now. Because? Why? Because it's a no cash on hand kind of a deal in Capitol Hill right now. For safety, right? And so people say, oh, you don't take cash. And then we get into the conversation. And I ask people, have you ever seen it this bad? Because I know it has never been this bad. Yeah. Sometimes people say, oh, it's the city. Oh, it's this always been. No. It's never mm-hmm. been this bad. And they start to tell me how they really feel about it. Because I think we can do better. Yeah. I know we can do better. And when I tell people that, it's interesting to watch them because the light goes on and they say, yeah, we can do better. But they're afraid of what that means.
Yeah.
It means we need more conservative leadership. Well, we need new leadership. There's no doubt about it, because this is the result of the progressive leadership.
Yeah. And it's awesome to see somebody kind of wake up like that and go all in. She's trying to kind of start this citizen uprising through something called Savage Citizens. You could check it out, savagecitizens.com, and watch our full interview with Rachel Savage by becoming a subscriber, undividedpod.com. You can find a link to that. But I think, you know, one of the things I disagreed with her about in the interview is this assertion that we need more conservative leadership in Seattle. Look, we're a long way off in Seattle from having any sort of semblance of conservatism. You know, I know we have a Republican city attorney, but she was a Republican for like 5 minutes before she ran for city attorney. You know, I don't think it has to be, and it shouldn't be characterized as a conservative value to want to help the homeless and like get the homeless off the streets and not let people overdose on drugs out in broad daylight in the alcove of a business. It's kind of sad, isn't it, that that's characterized as a conservative, like we need a conservative to do that. I mean, I think she's right in the sense that only conservatives seem to be talking about how what's happening right now isn't working. But like, this is just common sense. You look at what's happening, that's not working. Whatever you're doing to deal with homelessness is not working. Whatever, you know, the steps you've made to essentially decriminalize drugs and take this hands-off approach, that's not working. More people are dying. More people are homeless. The crime issue is worse. As she said, it's hell to run a business. So you're telling me we really can't find some common sense Democrats who are willing to run for office, who will say those things and do those things? Now, she did mention in the interview, she's considering a run for mayor. Now, but she'd run as a Republican. I mean, she came full circle. She went from like liberal Capitol Hill business owner to voted for Donald Trump and says if she ran for mayor, she'd do it as a Republican. Now, I think it would be very, very hard to win branding yourself as a Republican in the city of Seattle. Not impossible. Ann Davidson did it. But it's kind of beyond that. It's like, I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat or a libertarian or a socialist. I don't care what label you put on yourself. I care about your ideas. And I care about whether those ideas are going to be effective. And if they're not, whether you're willing to change course. What we're seeing right now is a political class that is completely unwilling to change course, even with ample evidence of the failure of their policies. And that should be unforgivable, whether it's Republicans who are that stubborn, Democrats who are that stubborn, or any other political party that is that stubborn, where they see that their policies are quite literally killing people and they will not change course. Those are people who don't deserve to be in elected office, regardless of the letter next to their name. So let's find people who are willing to speak simple truths. This is not working. We see it with our own eyes. Like, let's do better, and are willing to act on those simple truths and change course, whoever they may be. That segment was brought to you in partnership with our friends at Future 42. Turn your frustration into action at future42.org. All right. There are so many, Nicole. We get, is it every day now, we get messages from someone who took the First Mark Challenge? Like, I swear to almost, God. And yeah. I was at yoga, and my friend Sarah at yoga is like, hey, we're just getting to the end of our First Mark Challenge, and they're going to be saving us money, and I'm so glad I did it.
Okay.
That is the absolute story every time, where people are like, I've been hearing you talk about the First Mark Challenge, or I've heard the First Mark Challenge talked about on the radio for years, never did it. We got a monster renewal statement, finally did it, and I wish I'd done it sooner. So yeah, whether it's Chad, Karina, Tanya, Michelle, Paula, Beth, all these emails we get from undivided viewers and listeners who have wonderful stories about First Mark, and also some like unique stories. Chad Bennett says, I went to First Mark for my car, house, and pet insurance. Levi was unable to help with my car or house, but he did get me insurance for my service dog, Sergeant. It saved me over $100 a month. Levi said, I was his first ever pet insurance policy. I truly love the customer service Levi gave me. And also the creative solutions. Like, if you need something, for instance, I had gone to First Mark for my business and I needed insurance for lies and omission, like in case I were to slander someone on the show, you know, cover my ass in a lawsuit. And it was really difficult for them to find, but they found it. And they came back and they came up with a solution for me. So the very best part about First Mark, first of all, you never pay them a dime. So it really is a no-brainer. But First Mark works for you, not the insurance company. So they're always going to have your best interests in mind. And if they can help you, they'll let you know. If they can't, they'll let you know that too. So firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com. Take the First Mark Challenge today. All right. I feel like Unbelievable was made for this because the graphic is a little spaceship. So, of course, I've got to talk about the drones, quote unquote, sightings that are happening across the country. Drones. All right, so this sort of started in New Jersey. Now it's like there's been these drone sightings. Oh, Nicole, where's my tinfoil hat? You were supposed to make me a tinfoil hat. Oh,
dang it. I'm on it. I'm on it next now. I got to write these things down.
I'll put my fake one on. okay. Of course, I believe in space aliens. And I think there's ample evidence that we've had visitors from elsewhere. I mean, all the military interactions that they've seen that have since been declassified. But I don't know what the hell is going on here. What I do know is that when the government is clearly acting like there's nothing wrong and it's no big deal, when clearly there's, you can see it, that's when I get into the, okay, it's obviously like space aliens. So this is from CNN. What we know about mysterious drone sightings, and they've had all these pictures and video. It's been kind of hard to wade through on X, though, in particular, because there's like so much disinformation out there and people like posting videos from like 9 years ago of things and being like, oh, this was just over New Jersey. So you got to kind of figure out which ones are true. But it's basically all these little, it's kind of weird because in some videos, it looks like a plane that's kind of decked out with like all sorts of weird lights that aren't in line with FFA standards. And then in some of them, they look like these orbs. I've seen some photos of photographers who've like zoomed in. But anyway, this is getting mainstream media coverage. Obviously, CNN. CNN talked to a congressman from New Jersey about like what the hell is going on.
For weeks now, the drones have been spotted over homes, critical infrastructure, and sensitive government sites. Today, frustrated lawmakers have gone from asking questions to demanding answers.
New Jersey can't become the Wild West of drone activity.
No state can become the Wild West of drone activity. I've made this very clear to the FBI, to Homeland Security, and the FAA, the agencies chiefly responsible for monitoring drone activity. They must immediately disclose more information to the public. It's totally and completely unacceptable that you have all this drone activity going on that people are seeing with their own eyes. The fact that the federal agencies responsible for briefing the public have not come forward in a clear way is unacceptable. There has to be some explanation to the public for all this increased activity, and they must do so now.
Yeah, because the silence just breeds conspiracies, and maybe the conspiracies are true, but drone activity is highly regulated. I mean, even when I worked at Fox 13, our camera operators had to go and get an actual certification to be able to operate a drone. There are rules about where you can fly them, where you can't, where you need permission to fly a drone, where you don't. And so it's not as if there would be all of these quote unquote drones up in the air and the FAA would just shrug its shoulders and be like, nah, we don't know. They do know, they do care. You can't just have totally on, especially ones this big, because they keep calling them drones, and I don't think they're drones. You wouldn't just be like, as the FAA, like, no big deal. No, there's a lot of practical reasons that would be concerning. There's a lot of national security reasons that would be concerning. Safety reasons in terms of them interfering with other air traffic. So the whole idea that this is like, oh, it's a non-issue, like we're just gonna be hush about it, is the dumbest thing in the world. And that just tells you that there's something bigger going on here, and even locally. So KHQ did a story where they talked to a guy from Spokane, and I haven't watched the full story. We have a clip from it. But basically my understanding of it is he was monitoring the skies over the airport in Spokane,
right,
and like trying to get answers over what was going on. Here's a clip.
That's a plane taking off right there.
In this video, we see what appears to be an airplane flying above the Spokane International Airport. It's side by side with the light. And for days, JJ's watched multiple bright lights hanging over Spokane International before setting on the horizon.
Just sitting there.
Here, you can see the first light disappear while the other stays high in the sky.
As if it was like a star, but it's clearly not a star because it was a gloomy night.
You see that? Yeah.
And clearly, neither is this. A woman in Cheney sent Nonstop Local this video, but wanted to remain anonymous. It appears to be an airplane, but she says it moved like a helicopter or drone. And it hovered, bobbing side to side, close to the ground.
We reached out to the FAA if anything unique or abnormal has happened in our airspace. They said they have seen nothing over the last 24 hours. On a national level, the FAA says that a lot of these reports we have seen from the East Coast have been confirmed to be regular airplanes and aircraft.
What do you mean you've seen nothing? We've seen nothing. Well, here, what is this? What the hell is this? What do you mean you've seen nothing? Then tell me what this is. What is this bright light that disappears over the horizon? You know, and it's, oh my God.
If they really haven't seen anything, then we have another issue.
Yeah, then we have people who are like high out of their mind on psychedelics and being, they're like mass dosed.
Need some
have
glasses.
We been mass dosed on psychedelics? Anyway, if anyone's going to tell the truth about what's happening, it's going to be Donald J. Trump.
Can you comment on the drones that are flying around New Jersey ports? It seems like the American people have a big disconnect.
The government knows what is happening. Look, our military knows where they took off from. If it's a garage, they can go right into that garage. They know where it came from and where it went. And for some reason, they don't want to comment. And I think they'd be better off saying what it is. Our military knows and our president knows. And for some reason, they want to keep people in suspense. I can't imagine it's the enemy, because if it was the enemy, they'd blast it out. Even if they were late, they'd blast it. Something strange is going on. For some reason, they don't want to tell the people. And they should, because the people are really, I mean, they happen to be over Bedminster.
You want to know the truth?
They're very close to Bedminster. I think maybe I won't spend the weekend in Bedminster.
I've
decided to cancel my trip.
Just love Trump. But everything he says is true. It's like, they know. The U.S. government knows when something came into our airspace, where it originated from. You don't think, and today they can track all those things. They know exactly where it came from and where it went. Bottom line. And even if they come out, even if you just come out, because you can't just say no big deal when you have hundreds of video, independent sightings, videos and photos and all these things. So that just freaks people out even more. So if you know, you don't have to come out. Like, if it's a national security issue, just come out and say, we are aware of this. We're monitoring it. It's an issue of national security. So there's some things we're going to be able to say and not say, but you're at no risk. Like, let's say they know what it is and it's not a threat to us. Tell people it's not a threat to you. Otherwise, it's just, it freaks people out, and understandably so. So first of all, I have a couple theories, and I've seen some of these echoed a little bit. I mean, one is just these are space aliens.
I'm excited about your
others. The most logical theory is, honestly, it is. It's the most logical theory.
I actually think it is, because
these are space aliens.
If it was people that we know down the street, then they would just say, hey, we talked to the people behind the drones.
Yeah.
We're taking care of it.
100%. Yeah. The other one that I've heard that kind of freaks me out is that there's some sort of nuclear threat in the country somewhere that they know of. And these are mechanisms to scan for like a nuclear signature.
Oh, I like
that. I've heard, you shouldn't like
that.
Well,
no, I mean,
There's some sort of nuclear threat, right? Maybe something snuck into the country, and this is some sort of scanning mechanism to figure out if they can see some sort of nuclear signature.
I guess I don't like the threat, but I like the theory. Maybe they can track that.
So then they can't say anything about it because they're trying to find it or whatever it is. So that's a possibility, I guess. I asked you guys in our daily subscriber show poll because you know I love these topics because it's aliens, you guys. It's aliens. What do you believe is behind the unidentified aerial phenomena in New Jersey and now also elsewhere? I didn't even give the option of it being a mundane thing. I didn't even provide it as an option. Like, I didn't even provide as an option, these are just airplanes, Brandy, or these are just hobby drones from Joe drones Schmo. Yeah, from the cast of the Jersey Shore, you know, screwing with people. No, there's only three options here. U.S. government technology, foreign government technology, or space aliens. Nicole, what say you?
Well, I know they're not foreign government because, like Trump, I believe they'd be shot down real quick. U.S. government, I don't think they'd be denying it the way that they are. They just say, yeah, those are ours. We're just testing some stuff. No big deal. Mm. And so I don't know that they know. So they're either space aliens or people are just doing this. I mean, they're messing with people at this point, right? So now we've got all of these sightings and they're just messing with people, putting it out there. So we're dumbed down to whatever it is.
Okay, so your fourth option is what? That doesn't make sense.
That it's just regular
misdirection.
Drones.
Misdirection.
Just regular drones and drones. And there's some other problem that we don't know about.
I'm actually disappointed in you guys, I gotta say, with the results of this. Have
it's
I taught
not
you nothing?
Aliens? I thought it, no. They're gonna...
Have I taught you literally nothing?
Oh, no.
Oh my God. I'm gonna cancel the show. So 70% are saying it's a U.S. government technology.
Really?
Only 6% are saying space aliens.
Six.
Here, I thought you guys were independent thinkers, but I need you to think just like me. It's space aliens, people. Let's see. Brenda says drones have been spotted by neighbors out here in remote west side of the Hood Canal near Hamahama. What is that? I do not trust the U.S. government with this current regime in place. I believe they're doing something fishy and nefarious. 2025 can't come soon enough. E says there have been unclassified documents to prove that UFOs are from other life forms, and we have copied that technology. So the answer is both other life forms and the U.S., U.K., Canadian, and German governments. Samantha says they have now been seen across the U.S. and John Kirby was lying out his ass. George says more illegal aliens. Yeah, they're just they're bringing them in via drone now. They're New York won't let us ship anymore via bus. So we're just taking them and dropping them via drones in New Jersey and they can just cross into
we
New
have
York.
A Honey, I Shunker.
Y says, I haven't heard anything about it. No media consumption. I was sick all weekend. Now you have. Mm-hmm. Now you have. Let's see. Jeff, I have been seeing anti-collision and position lighting on the videos, leading to believe there is nothing nefarious or secretive occurring. It's just the hot storyline du jour. I hope you're right. I hope you're right. Let's do one more here. Kyle T, that area off the New Jersey coast is all Navy playground. That airspace starts several miles out, sure, but the U.S. military has all kinds of spooky stuff that's kept very secret. Heck, we didn't even know about the stealth helicopters until one crashed at Osama's compound. How long had those been flying around before that? Well, clearly these things aren't stealth. Because old Joe Schmo is getting it on their, you know, cell phone. So at that point, if you haven't kept something stealth, probably good to offer some bit of information and not gaslight people into, again, it goes back to like, I can compare it to anything else the government does. Oh, the homeless crisis isn't bad, even though I see it. Drug crisis isn't bad, even though I see it. Drones, no, nothing to see here. It's like, you guys are absolutely full of it. So anyway.
Maybe those Starlink drones, have you ever seen those fly by?
Yeah, but those are very...
They're in a row.
Yeah, they're row, and they always come out and say, this is Starlink. You can see it, right, on the satellite. Here's where Starlink is positioned, so they can tell you exactly if you had this sighting in this location at this time, that it was likely the Starlink.
What I'm saying is maybe they weren't really Starlink.
Maybe it's
something else, and something's gone awry, and they're, like, spreading out, and they've been taken over. I don't know.
Listen, there's something going on.
I don't know. There's something.
Give us something. Give us some sort of reassurance that it's not a threat to us. But I don't know.
How many days until Trump takes office?
6% of you think it's aliens? What a disappointment. You guys are disappointing.
You know what? I hope that's on my what naughty list. Trump tells us day one. By the way, I figured out the drones.
Yeah, it's space aliens.
It's space aliens, but we're fine.
Oh, all right. In national news, an example of the media finally being held accountable. And there's been some examples of this over the years, like with CNN's massive payout to that. What was his name? The guy who, what was the guy that CNN, the young kid, Nicole's like, don't put me on the spot. Nick? No, come on, I can't think of his name. The one who was like shown to be harassing a Native American elder, and in reality it was the Native Americans who harassed him, and CNN had to pay out massive sums of money. So I always like to see Nicole's Googling it.
Nick Sandman.
Yeah. Okay, I was right, Nick. Always like to see that. So that has happened now to ABC News. Donald Trump is going to benefit from, it's an agreement that basically they're going to have to pay $15 million to things that benefit Donald Trump. But so let me set this story back up. So, of course, Donald Trump went through these accusations that he had, you know, with E. Jean Carroll, and he'd kind of, you know, assaulted her in a dressing room or whatever it is.
Sexually abused her
in a dressing room. So he had been found liable for defamation claims against Carroll, ordered to pay $83.3 million. So anyway, this has to do with ABC News and George Stephanopoulos. So this is a previous interview George Stephanopoulos had done with Rep. Nancy Mace, where he was essentially questioning, this is last March, how she could, as a rape survivor, vote for someone who, in his words, had raped someone.
Donald Trump has been found liable for rape by a jury. Donald Trump has been found liable for defaming the victim of that rape by a jury. It's been affirmed by a judge.
It was not a criminal court case, number one. Number two, I live with shame. And you're asking me a question about my political choices, trying to shame me as a rape victim, and I find it disgusting.
Asking you a very simple question.
You're shaming me for my political choices.
I'm asking you a question about why you endorse someone who's been found liable for rape.
It was not a criminal court. And here you are trying to shame a rape victim. I find it disgusting.
I mean, you keep saying I'm shaming you.
It is.
How is the question asking you about a presidential candidate who's
you're
been
asking
found-
a rape victim.
And you've courageously talked about
that. Because I'd been raped. I think that's disgusting.
No, I'm questioning your political choices because you're supporting someone who's been found liable for rape. Actually, I'm not trying to
you.
Shame
are.
You.
That's exactly what
you're not
what
answering
you're
the question.
I think it's disgusting.
Well, you're welcome to say that, but you also have to answer the question. Why are you supporting someone who's been found liable for rape?
Well, you don't have to answer the question. She clearly isn't going to. So it was just a weird exchange, but nothing in either of the verdicts involving the E. Jean Carroll case met any sort of New York statutorial definition of rape. He was never found, and you heard George Stephanopoulos say that over and over and over again. He was found liable of rape, and he wasn't. Well, Donald Trump sued for defamation. Good for him. ABC News to pay $15 million to settle a defamation suit brought by Trump. This is from the New York Times. The outcome of the lawsuit marks an unusual victory for President-elect Donald J. Trump and his ongoing legal campaign against national news organizations. So as part of the agreement they reached, ABC News will donate the $15 million to Mr. Trump's future presidential foundation and museum. ABC News has to give $15 million towards Trump's museum. That has to sting. The network and its star anchor, George Stephanopoulos, also published a statement saying they regret remarks made about Mr. Trump during a televised interview, the one we just showed. ABC News, which is owned by the Walt Disney Company, will pay Mr. Trump an additional $1 million for his legal fees. And I think that's totally appropriate. I'm glad that Donald Trump picks those fights. Because there's been examples of this with major network news outlets ruining people's lives who have far less power and influence than Donald Trump by being loose with their comments or their reporting, and they're never held accountable for it. So I think until you have to be held accountable, like in the Nick Sandman case for CNN, I mean, he got much more money than $15 million. And in that case, and I had even admitted, and I begged Nick Sandman, I was like, don't come after me, because this was like before my... I think that was even before I went independent, I believe. But when you watch the initial video, it really looked like these were some punk kids just messing with some Native Americans for no freaking reason. And I think I called them like punk kids on the internet. And then I saw the real video. I was like, uh-oh. So you learn these lessons about you know, not rushing to judgment, wanting to see full context. And so, you know, mistakes happen, right? Mistakes will happen. And if they're honest and in good faith and you're willing to come back and correct them, then, you know, it doesn't have to end in some sort of massive lawsuit. But one of the issues is when these network outlets, these massive media organizations make mistakes, they are so rarely willing to admit that they made an error. They're so rarely willing to have any level of journalistic standards or humility. You look at the whole, like, go back to the Hunter Biden laptop story, where it was crushed and where people were vilified for even suggesting that it might be legitimate. You were prohibited on social media companies from even sharing the link to the New York Post story. And then all of a sudden, when it was clear that it was true, the national outlets didn't do some sort of big mea culpa. They just started covering it as if they hadn't covered it the whole time. They're just like, do-do-do, Hunter Biden laptop, nothing to see here. So there's just, you have to go after them civilly at this point for them to learn their lesson, because they've clearly shown they're not willing to have basic journalistic integrity and correct mistakes. A story that we didn't put on the show today, maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow. Did you see the CNN thing, Nicole? So Clarissa Ward, I think, is a phenomenal journalist for CNN. I mean, she has gone into some of the most dangerous war-torn areas of the world and done phenomenal reporting. I've complimented her reporting before, but it looks like they just made a huge error that was easily avoidable. So they had gone in, obviously, you know, in Syria, the regime fell, and so they were in there and they were going through these prisons where political prisoners had been held by Assad. And they came across this guy in a prison cell who was under a blanket, like a locked prison cell, had been in there, he said, for 4 days, no food, mm-hmm. no water. And Clarissa Ward and her team are scooping him up and she's holding him up and they're giving him water and they're doing this whole thing where he's like praying and, you know, that he's so grateful that the regime is gone, the military is gone. And so they acted as if essentially they had saved the life of someone who had been held captive by the regime and wrongly imprisoned. Well, it turns out, like the locals said, that he was actually part of the regime. He tortured people and he was only put in a prison cell because he had some sort of dispute with the regime, maybe over money he was accused of stealing or something like that. So that is now CNN's like aired this whole thing that was shared around the world. And I might have even retweeted it too, because I thought it was like, holy smokes, this is crazy. But then on the back end, CNN was doing some follow-up on the name that he gave, and it wasn't his real name. People in the local area knew who he was. And now CNN did that follow-up and now has to issue this major correction. When shouldn't you have done the follow-up and, like, should we just believe the name this dude gave us who we found in the Syrian prison cell and, like, put him out there as some hero mm-hmm. when he possibly, like, tortured people? So it's just interesting. So yeah, another example. Like, you can't trust anything anymore.
I do you think can't he believe more anything. Surprised than he did. Grateful, right? So
he was sort of like, oh, let me fool these people. Yeah. In hindsight, when you look at the video and knowing what they now know, you yep. can kind of watch it and be like, oh yeah, his reaction's a little odd. Mm-hmm. But anyway, all right, $1 billion, that is what has gone to DEI programs in public schools across the country. $1 billion. Washington State, we know, is one of them. This is from Turning Point USA. The Department of Education spent over $1 billion on DEI grants since 2021. And we wonder why people want to get rid of the Department of Education. It says the Department of Education has allocated more than $1 billion in grants focused on diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives since 2021. According to a report by Parents Defending Education, these grants distributed across 42 states have funded race-based hiring, DEI programming, and mental health training in schools. Now, mental health training...
That's specifically related to training them. I think it's kind of that know your privilege or bias training, yeah. things like that. So it's specifically related to DEI.
Absolutely insane. It says PDE analyzed 4 years of public data from the Department of Education. It found that 229 grants were awarded, totaling just over $1 billion. The breakdown includes $489 million for race-based hiring, $343 million for DEI programming, and $169 million for DEI-based mental health training. Meanwhile,
race-based hiring, America, is that not racist?
Literally racist.
Racist hiring, that's what we're going to
do. Well, because when you hire a DEI position, right, you're not hiring a white person for that position.
Nope.
You're not. So inherently, the position is race-based. You are not going to hire a white person into a DEI role. So inherently, that should be an unconstitutional job opening. But of course, they would never say, well, white people aren't excluded. They can apply. We're just never going to pick them, mm-hmm. you know. But and then you look at test scores. I mean, the United States trailing behind so many nations. We are losing the war on education. Other countries are laughing at us over this. And Washington State is one of the worst offenders. I mean, we've seen how bad our test scores are in the basics. We're failing in almost every area. Enrollment is declining because a lot of parents have woken up and said, my kid isn't learning anything, or they're being indoctrinated when they go to school. We have a whole documentary about it. It's called Operation Indoctrination. You can watch it on any of our platforms for free. And Lord only knows, and talk about the budget crisis, I bet you I could find $10 billion in saving in Washington State, cutting any sort of race-based, DEI, special interest, group, entity, fund, grant, whatever it is. You could save a lot of money in that. I got to say, $1 billion is a surprise, but I almost thought it would be more from 2021. I almost thought it would be more than $1 billion. Okay, we're going to get to questions and comments coming up in just a moment. Sorry, I got lost here. And our closing sanity check first. If you're thinking about selling your home, check out our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com. Sellwithwes.com. Wes and his team have an innovative marketing strategy to make sure that, first of all, your listing stands out in the crowd and that you have everything you need on the front end to get your home ready to sell. So that might seem like an overwhelming task. Like you've got, you know, cosmetic upgrades, you know, you need to make, you don't want to handle those projects. Maybe you're trying to move is stressful as it is, or you don't have the money to do it and to put into it at the front end. Well, Wes can help you with both of those things. He's the son of a builder, so he loves taking on projects. They can completely manage the projects. They can even help you pay for it up front, which is really cool. It's a service you're not going to find in a lot of other places. So sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com, a better way to sell your home. All right. It was really nice. We started the show today with a $50 super chat from Old Sub Sailor. Just because it's Christmas, enjoy your holiday break, Undivided Crew, which we'll talk more tomorrow. We are taking a holiday break, so we're with you through the week, but we'll talk a little bit about, we're not going to leave you completely. Infamous Papa Woody. God.
He just
Papa Woody, $10 super chat, just so I say your name. I love it. Mm-hmm. Good to hear from you, Papa Woody. Former Dem and Proud, that's a good screen name. Mm-hmm. As a union worker, I think this is a much bigger conversation. Some worker strikes are not always just on the worker, but on the union themselves. But you have every right in the world, right, as a worker individually, to cross the picket line. I know that's sort of like considered a really bad thing to do, but I don't think there's anything that would force you out of your job. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but you don't have to do what the union does. I don't believe. I mean, you might be an outcast, but please correct me if I'm wrong on that. Sandy Johnson Fleck, pay for striking workers. The teachers union alone will make sure this happens. Sick. Yeah. Bob Ferguson's going to go against the teachers union. Oh, my God. That's so funny. Val Jean, for quite some time now, it's been an open secret that the level of corruption in Washington state government is unprecedented. With zero consequences and the most apathetic and cowardly citizenry imaginable, it will never end. The only change we can expect is for things to get worse. That's a bummer. Mm-hmm. Matthew Cook, $5 super chat. Our buddy Adam Smith won't attend the inauguration, plays the moderate card when politically convenient, but ultimately bends the knee to the Dem tribe. Did Adam Smith say he's not going to the inauguration of Donald Trump?
That's what he's saying, so I'm going to check on that.
Yeah, check on that. We'll talk about it on the show tomorrow. That seems crazy. Really?
No, because he was very anti... He was not a fan of Trump.
Yeah, but he's pro-America, so it just doesn't... That would really shock me. I mean, I'm assuming Matthew's not making that up, so can we look into that?
Yeah.
Baron of Gray Matter, $5 super chat. I'm sorry Rachel voted for all of this. I don't believe her. She voted for the people that defunded the police. Does her group collect money? Who gets it? Yeah, I mean, I believe that she's sincere when she says that she's woken up. I think you have to be willing to let people change their mind. Because if you're not willing to let people change their mind, that means that we are going to be stuck in this place as a state. Because people are going to keep voting the way that they're voting. So it takes someone witnessing it with their own eyes outside their shop, seeing that this is not working and it personally affecting them, for them to change their mind. I think you got to welcome that with open arms. It doesn't mean that, you know, I mean, I've changed my mind on things. I changed my mind on Donald Trump,
you
like literally 4 months ago.
Today you said, I love Trump.
Oh, when did I say that?
After he was, he made that comment about the drones. He said, I love Trump.
He is funny. He's funny. And so, yeah, I hope that you guys wouldn't judge me for doing that and the reasons I had to feel the way I felt. I've changed my mind on a lot of things. So I'm okay with it. Diana Manning, don't you watch X-Files? Government and aliens are in cahoots with each other. X-Files was a long time ago. Although I always get told I look like the lady from X-Files. Probably when I had shorter hair.
Is that Jillian?
Yeah. Jillian? That's the first time I realized that people think I'm a redhead.
Oh.
I get called a redhead all the time now. Oh. I'm like, I don't think I'm
strawberry-ish.
My hair's red. Not that there's anything wrong with it. Greg Anderson, wish we could find a local law firm or a brave attorney to sue our local news outlets for not doing their job. I mean, I think you'd have to have an example of clear, like, defamation of character or something like that. And then you'd have to have the person who was the victim of it, because they have the standing in it. You couldn't just be like, we're suing the news outlets. Greg, why would aliens use human drone technology? And are they not way smarter than us? Well, here's the thing. Some of them look like airplanes, right? They're just, the lights are kind of off. They don't look like the normal lights you'd see on an airplane. Maybe they have technology that from below can mimic anything they want it to mimic.
There you go.
I mean, right? They can say, oh, we got this whole, like, a little thing around us. What do you call it? Shield around us. And you can just project a plane. You can project a drone. Mm-hmm. Right? You can project an air balloon. Just like, nothing to see here, folks. I wouldn't rule that out.
There you go.
I think it would be foolish to rule it out. All right, good comments per the usual. On a bender today with aliens. Story. You've got to watch some of these shows. I'm sorry, Ancient Aliens. Once you watch that, you can't unsee it. You can't unhear that stuff. Makes so much sense.
I'm not going to watch it. Okay. I'll have nightmares.
Whatever.
Are they like scary aliens? Are they nice aliens?
No, it's about how a lot of the things that were happening, like in Mayan culture and the ancient Aztecs, like the
other pyramids, proof of aliens.
How they show, like, all these, one of the things that really got me is they show all these, just let me be me, okay?
Yep.
You see all these like similarities in carvings in like Central America, and the same like in ancient Egypt. But like in times like well before, when they weren't, yeah. So it's like, and then you look at them and it's, you can see how it's an interpretation, a primitive human's interpretation of like technology, like the Greek gods, like a fiery chariot. Well, maybe that was a rocket, right? But that was their interpretation of seeing something they couldn't explain.
Yeah.
So they sort of see like very similar carvings of sort of, now we say alien looking people, like with the Aztecs, and you know, other cultures that were so far away from each other, they would never have been able to communicate. How are like the carvings all the same?
Yeah.
Things like that, or even the pyramid structures.
Well, those, I think, I've heard this, that you, like, they believe we have more powers than we know we have now. But anytime somebody figures out all of these powers and these like rules and stuff, that they disappear, these people that figure these things out, like all the people that talk about these things are,
okay, so if I disappear,
we're not suicidal.
I'm not suicidal. I have no intention of running away from home,
right?
So okay, well, I'm just telling you guys, like, I like thinking about these things. I mean, the universe is a profound thing. Anybody who believes they have like all the answers of the universe and why we're here and they attribute it to one thing, I just think is ridiculous. Like, there's no possible way to be able to understand or know the limits of alien technology or when they've come or not come or any of this stuff. Anyway, interesting.
Anyway, I'm just done with this. This government response is real bad for this.
Real bad.
And I'm glad we're almost done with this.
Real bad. Speaking of Donald Trump, he's going to be in our closing sanity check. First, get a second opinion on your retirement portfolio, especially if you're nearing retirement. I mean, I would say for anyone really, but you only get one retirement. If you're like me, you've already planned out what you want it to look like. And you have, you know, a strategy in place to make sure, or hope to make sure, that you have enough money to make it a reality. But, you know, with any, like a healthcare decision, for instance, if it's serious enough, you're going to want a second opinion on it. So why not get a second opinion when it comes to your hard-earned retirement? Zach Abraham is the chief investment officer at Bulwer Capital. If you schedule time to do their free Know Your Risk portfolio review, here's what they're going to cover with you. They'll cover the impacts of the election, because it's kind of timely, an outlook for 2025, and they'll do a full reveal of how Bulwer is always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, and give your retirement as much upside as possible. You only get one retirement. Get a second opinion. Don't put it off. Schedule your free portfolio review now at knowyourriskradio.com. That's knowyourriskradio.com. And with that, let's get to our closing sanity check. Well, since I love Donald Trump, I guess we'll end with another clip of Donald Trump. I called it on the show. I said, Donald Trump, New York City Mayor Eric Adams is absolutely gunning for a pardon from Donald Trump. And it seems as if Donald Trump is truly considering it.
Consider pardoning Eric Adams.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. I think that he was treated pretty unfairly. Now, I haven't seen the gravity of it all, but it seems, you know, like being upgraded in an airplane many years ago. I know probably everybody here has been upgraded. They see you're all stars and they say, I want to upgrade that person from NBC. I'm going to upgrade him. And that would mean you'll spend the rest of your life in prison. I don't know. Somehow, I would. I mean, I'd have to see it because I don't know the facts. There. I think he was treated. You know, it's very interesting. When he essentially went against what was happening with the migrants coming in, and you know, he made some pretty strong statements like, "This is not sustainable." I said, "You know what? He'll be indicted soon," and I said it not as a prediction, a little bit lightheartedly, but I said it. I said he's going to be indicted. And a few months later, he got indicted.
Yeah, I would like to see, given, if once he gets a review of all the facts, I definitely don't think it would be a bad idea to pardon Mayor Eric Adams, because I also agree that some of this seems to be politically motivated and to have only come up after he started speaking out against his own party. That has been your sanity check for today. That has been today's episode of Undivided. Remember, this holiday season, you can give the gift of Undivided to a friend or even an enemy. You can sign them up, patreon.com/undivided/gift. If you have not signed up to become a subscriber already, please do so. It's only $5 a month. You can support the work that we're doing as we head into a critical legislative session. That has been our show for today. Thank you all for being here. We will see you back on the live show tomorrow at noon.